Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you for coming out. Good evening. You have reached the TRF table. We're glad that you pulled up a seat along with us as we talk about our discussion tonight, our topic tonight, something that God put on my heart. And I'm very excited about it and don't know where it's going to go, but I know how it impacted me. So before we get into that, I just want to go ahead and open the door and reintroduce our host. Brother J.R. Dunlap, how are you this evening?
What's going on, good sir? I am doing very well this evening.
Well, that's good, that's good, that's good. And Miss Sanders, how are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
All right, so now I'm gonna play the same role J.R. play. I'm gonna need y'all to go ahead and, pick it up.
Live it up.
Yeah,
I'm good.
It feels good to put the table and turn it around back on somebody else. So, you know, that's all. But, yeah, we got a very interesting show tonight. Tonight we're going to talk about entitlements and income. And I would tell you, I just want to lay the background on how this dropped into me. As most of you know that's been on the show a while, know that I am currently in the military. I've been in the military over 20 years. And with 20 years of being active duty in the military, there are some perks and incentives and, you know, all kind of stuff that come with that, you know, that, you know, you get management-level treatment. You know, there are certain things that you can't do. And I'm in the process of transitioning from one duty station to another duty station. And in the process of that, they took me out of my job to allow me the time to prepare to transition and then allow me to coach, mentor, and train the person that's filling in while I'm gone. So there'll be some type of backfill. And then people ask me, you know, so what are you doing right now? And in the process of me saying that, I caught myself saying, well, they don't have me doing too much. And then that really hit me because I was like, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm capable of doing a whole lot more than what I am doing. It's just the fact that in my mind, I've been in military 21 years. I'm a management level position. I'm just not going to do certain things. And then my mind just goes all over the place. And I got to thinking about how does that affect other areas of my life? Because I think I've arrived or I think I'm at a certain position or I am at a certain position. And based on my thought, how I feel about myself, how does that affect other areas of my life? And then I thought about it for a couple of days, and I called JR, and I told him I wanted to bring this to the table because I want to talk about entitlements. You know, everybody gets some type of entitlements of some kind. And I'm going to let you know up front, I've been in the military for, you know, all of my adult life. I really don't know all of the entitlements outside of the military. So with that being said, you know, as we talk this discussion, as we bring this up, if you have something that you want to say, some entitlement on the civilian side, then feel free to come in and enlighten me and us all about the situation, about the subject. But I got to think about all the incentives and entitlements that we get being in the military. We have our base pay. Then we get housing allowance. We get clothing allowance. And we get food allowance. And over so many years of being in the military, that has become a part of my income. So there's the base pay, and then there's three entitlements. And I combine all of them up, and then when I go do business, when I go make purchases, when I go, you know, do this and do that financially, I incorporate all four of those things. However, with me being in 21 years, I have a lot of people around me that are getting out or prepared to get out. And what we do is we kind of coach, mentor each other, you know, as we go out, hey, look at this. Hey, think about this. Hey, think about that. And I've heard over the years that people getting, you know, 30, 40, and 50% pay cut when they get out of the military. And I got to thinking about it. You know, I hope I ain't taking too long building this up, but I got to thinking about it. And I said, those entitlements are not our income. But yet we become reliant on those entitlements. And what that does in the long run, what that does to a lot of soldiers as we get ready to transition out the military, we become accustomed and used to those entitlements. So if we take those entitlements and base them as part of our income, in the long run, it's going to hurt us. Because when we get out, all those extra entitlements, they're gone. And our pay when we retire is not based on our entitlement. It's based on our base pay. And so that's kind of where I want to go tonight and what I was thinking about tonight, how those entitlements are those things that we get, you know, extra for our job, for our position, for our location. You know, I remember when I was out of the military and I worked night shift, we got an extra 25 cent an hour simply because we was on night shift. So, again, that's another entitlement or maybe an incentive that we take that as part of our income, but yet then when a situation rolls around and we want to move to day shift, then we get to day shift and we say we're losing 25 cent an hour, but we're really not. We're just going back to our base pay. So tonight I just want to open up discussion and talk about, you know, how those entitlements affect us. How do they affect us financially? How do they affect us how we live? And even how we, you know, a little bit maybe how we think, because all this, I think, plays a part of how we budget, how we manage. And for y'all that have been with us a while, you know I am big on stewardship. And that's right. What it's all boiled down to, stewardship. You know, managing our time, managing our resources, managing those things. So I want to go ahead and open it up to, you know, JR, what do you got on, you know, entitlements and income? What are your opening thoughts or comments?
Well, I would say my first opening thoughts would be when we talk about entitlements, I think it would be very good for us to have an understanding of what an entitlement actually is. Because as we always try to do on the PRF table, we all come from different perspectives. You have a military, or you're active, all of us have military backgrounds, myself, Adia, and yourself. And listeners out there may not have that military background. So it's always important that we all have a baseline that we're always able to operate on this show. And let me just share what the definition of entitlement is. Nothing big. The definition of an entitlement is the state of being entitled. The other definition of entitlement is a government program that guarantees and provides benefits to a particular group. And if you take that first definition, you think this is what I think this show is really going to be about. The first definition, because it says the state of being entitled. So the word state means the condition, the understanding of being entitled. And I think there's a lot of people that may be out there that think they're entitled to certain things, such as what you said, because you've been in the military for so long, because you've been holding on or allowed to have these different entitlements provided to you. And then when you retire from the military or you transition into something else like I've done, then it kind of hits home. Then it hits you. And some people will not move, and I think this is a good move for entitlements. Some people will not move out of a certain position because of the entitlements.
Wow.
I give you a perfect example, and this just came to me. We as pastors and ministers have financial entitlements that other people do not have. Case in point. If I'm the pastor of a church and my church goes and does a church outing and comes to visit your church, Brother Feaster, and let's say I'm on program and I'm the person that's going to be delivering a message, there's something called an honorarium, right? And your church
right.
is going to provide that to me because I know I'm stepping on toes, I'm stepping on mine, it's fine. But I guarantee you the honorarium is going to come to me, not to my church.
Right.
But what about that choir member that had that extra choir practice so that the choir was also on this church program can make sure they sing Song of Zion as well. They don't get anything. And I also say this, there may be some pastors that because they have been receiving so many entitlements for such a long period of time, that doing something else in life just doesn't seem like it's operable.
Right.
I'm done. I know you just wanted just a little bit. I got a lot to say, but I'm going to go ahead and pass it on to Adia.
I'm here. I'm I was just trying to gather my thoughts, just, you know, what Nate was saying. Because when I think about entitlements, I just think about there's certain things depending upon what your job is, like Nate said, that other people are not going to get. And I like what you said. I like the point that you brought up, Feaster, about how you include those entitlements into your pay, like when you're doing different things, you include all of that in as a part of your pay. I guess my frustration with it when I look at these entitlements is that I kind of think that when you're looking at entitlements and income, I don't like the fact that a lot of the civilian companies want to include those entitlements as a part of your pay, because it's a way for them to exploit what you do. It's a way for them to, I guess, give more of a kind of a skewed picture of what your finances really look like. Because, and I say this is my issue with it, which is I know totally not what you or Nate said, but I guess what my issue is that at the end of the year, when you file your income tax return, those entitlements are not included as a part of that pay, and it's for a reason. And so I've always just pondered on it and just wondered, why are companies allowed to include that as all of your pay when you look at your LES that you most times have to give, you know, these companies, whether you're looking to buy a house, purchase a car, get a personal loan, whatever it may be, they want to include that. The IRS or the government, by law, I would say, and I don't know if that's the right word, cannot include that money in. And for me, I have been wondering on why it can't be included. I guess, and I don't know if it's because it's not taxed. I don't know if that's the answer. But that's kind of the angle that I look at when you talk about entitlements and income. We include it in our pay, but at the end of the day, the government does not. And so that's just kind of a thought process that I have had when it comes to entitlements and just something that I've never shared with anybody until today. So just thankful for this opportunity to talk about it.
And honestly, Adia, that's part of the reason why I wanted to bring this to the table, because you're exactly right. You know, we put it in our pay, but not too many other people include it in theirs. So it becomes something that we become reliant on. So I think really what I'm saying on the table is, are our entitlements part of our income? You know, how much do we rely on the entitlements either over our income or in addition to our income? And I'm going to write them down because those are kind of really some thought-provoking questions I really want to deal with. So let's start with the first one. Are entitlements a part of our income? I'll start off by saying I have a twofold answer on that. You know, I have a twofold answer. First is no, they're not, because as you said, Adia, you know, once we go to certain businesses and even around tax time, those entitlements are not taken into consideration. You know, they're not taken into consideration. You fill out that paperwork. They don't want to know how much you get for housing. They expect you to use that money on your house. They don't want to know how much you get for food.
Well, I'm saying the complete opposite, because I've had instances to where, and I want to say like when I brought my house, they included all of that in there. They included my base pay, my BAH, they included that as my income. And I was like, I said, how could you include this as my income if I'm only being taxed on what my base pay is?
Right.
And so that's kind of when you're talking about income and entitlements, I think they're very different because maybe one is taxed by the government and that is what you and that's what is reflected on your W-2, and the other one is, you know, because you are a government employee, you're, you know, in the military, I don't know, maybe this is just the way it's always been, because we have you move around so much, you know, and looking at the housing markets in the areas where you live or whatever, we have to offer you something to compensate the numerous times that you will move in a lifetime of a military person, because it is greater than that of a teacher. And I'm pretty sure not just the military that get entitlements, but even prison guards, you know, I found out from Kim Uel's, one of his friend's mom, her husband is a prison guard. And in order for them to be successful, they move like every 18 to 24 months just to promote into another to be promoted. So they get a housing allowance as well. I don't know if it's considered an entitlement to where they don't have to pay, but I would like to think that because he's a federal employee, that he falls into the same category as us. So I probably have more questions as a part of tonight's show than I do comments, and I just need some help.
Well, you know, we're known for sitting at the table and not answering any questions. We're known for
somebody to help me.
I know, right? I mean, look how the show started. I had some thoughts, and I called JR, and I was like, hey, let's bring this to the table. So with that being said, you know, if you're out there and you're listening, you know, you're sitting around the table also, feel free to press 1 on your dial pad and come and join the conversation and tell us what your perspective on it. Darryl, what you got? I know you hot in the seat and ready.
You know I am. In the military, everybody should understand that those of us who are in the military or have served in the military, we don't get paid the same or the equivalent based upon our job. We get paid based upon our military rank and our years of service. These entitlements are almost the same thing. So, for example, as Brother Fisa talked about, we can put it into layman's terms. The BAH, which is the housing allowance, or the separate rations, which is the food allowance. That is no different than an expense account in some cases that I may have as a person working in the corporate world. They give me this to spend when I go out of town on a trip. I have X amount of dollars. I still get per diem when I go out of town. I got to go away in March for a couple of days, and I'm going to get per diem. That's an entitlement. Remember what the definition of entitlement is, the state of being entitled or a government program that guarantees and provides benefits to a particular group. So it's the military. If I'm in the military, then I'm going to be entitled, but I'm not just entitled to that because I'm in the military for that housing allowance. I'm entitled to that extra money, which is that housing allowance, because I'm married and I have somebody to take care of, or because I have a family member that I'm taking care of and I have to have some place to live and I can't live inside of the barracks. And can you imagine? I mean, let's be real. We're talking about economics. The government, it would be, you know how much it would break our budget if everybody in the military earned $10,000, $15,000 additional dollars every single year, and what that would do for Social Security? It would be crazy. We wouldn't be able to sustain it. So I don't have – my mindset when we talk about entitlements is just a little bit different. I read something online today, and it said we should stop calling them entitlements. Get it straight. Welfare, food stamps, WIC, et cetera, are not entitlements. They are tax-funded handouts, and they shouldn't be called entitlements. Social Security and veterans benefits are entitlements because the people receiving them are entitled to them. they were earned and paid for by the recipients. So that's a comparison of when people talk about entitlements, they're not talking about true entitlements. Some of them are talking about handouts. And I don't have a problem with handouts. I cannot have a problem with handouts being a Christian. Because a handout is something of food, clothing, or money given to the needy. So how can I have a problem with handouts? I don't. And entitlements is not even the question. We're not talking about a question. This is not a question to me about giving to the needy per se. I think a lot of the talk that I've heard regarding entitlements, especially during the election era, is something that is biases towards groups of people. So when I hear people talking about the entitlements for the poor, they're not just talking about the poor. Depending on who it is and what color they are, they're talking about another group of people. Can we be real on the table?
Of course we can be real on the table, Jr. We expect you to go ahead and strike up some sparks anyway.
let me say this. Again, I think it's important to talk about when we're having a conversation about entitlements, I need to be able to ask the question, well, what's entitlements to you, Brother Feaster? And you should be able to ask the question to me, what's entitlements to you, Brother Dunlap? And if I mention to you, if you say entitlements to me are Medicare, entitlements to me is Social Security, and I say, well, some entitlements to me is giving food, clothing, or money to the needy, then we're on two different wavelengths.
Right.
And guess what? We're really not going to, huh?
Is that okay? I mean, that, you know,
it depends on where we're trying to take the conversation. This is what I like to put out to people. Does the definition of what an entitlement is get watered down or accepted when your brother who is laid off now needs unemployment benefits?
Right.
Is it different when your child gets in an accident and needs the support of the federal government for disability benefits? Is it different when your best friend who's in a hiring position and you tap him or her to get your foot in the door because your relationship isn't different then? Is it different when your child gets pregnant out of wedlock and needs WIC?
Mm-hmm.
What about when your daughter gets a divorce and no longer has that stability, that financial stability of their husband, needs some help taking care of the children? What about your mom and dad who's on Social Security now because Social Security doesn't quite help? I think about stuff like that. And so I think it does matter what we're talking about, because you can't just talk about entitlement and not have it attached to something. It's just like talking about love. If we're going to talk about love, we have to be talking about love attached to something or someone. I'm going to get a glass of water, though. I'll be back.
It's interesting the direction that you're saying is, and that's one of the things that I was thinking about. You know, once a year we have the combined federal campaign where, you know, we can donate part of our paycheck to different organizations. And it's a book of about 50 pages full of different organizations that if we want to donate to, that we can go in and choose and donate to them. And there are people that pay a lot of money for certain organizations that I don't care anything about. And it's because they're attached to those organizations. For example, one organization that I'm attached to is American Diabetic Association. That's because my sister is a diabetic. Another thing that I look to give to is Focus on the Family, because I like some of the family programs that they do. Another one is, UNCF, you know, United Negro College Fund, giving money to the needy people that need to go, that want to go to college, but they can't afford it. But these things are personal to me, and that's why I don't have a problem not only giving money, but consistently giving money. And it really doesn't matter what you say about the organization, unless it's something I totally disagree upon that I find out, I'm going to continue to contribute. So it goes back to, you know, JR, what you're saying, it goes back to how we feel about that particular thing. How does it affect me? And 90% of the time, 90 to more, probably more than that percent of the time, we're affected by things based on our relationship with that thing. You tell me the statistics in another country, for example, China, that they have, you know, this many people on this and this many people sick, and I'm be like, whoa, it's China. Whoa, it's China. But if you come to my city, my town, and my house, and I'm part of that statistic, well, that makes a difference. That makes a difference because now, you know, I'm involved in it. I'm involved in it. You know, this is me. I'm the one hungry. I'm the one sick. I'm the one can't find a doctor, can't find a job. I'm the one got children to feed. So now, you know, that now it becomes personal. I think that's why a lot of times we have an issue with looking for different organizations to contribute to and charities and stuff like that and even volunteer time. So you're right, y'all. It is important to know, and it goes back to, we talked about this on stewardship. It goes back to knowing why do we give? Why do we value this? What is the reason why we value this? What's so important? How does it affect me? Because, look at the news after a major event. They always do the same thing. They start off with the big flood, the big earthquake, the big bombing, the big shooting. And they'll do that for about a day because they want to draw you in to the actual event. But within 2 to 3 days, they're going to start taking it away from the city, and they're going to start bringing people in so that you can see the people. Because what they want to do is take you from woe is me, woe is them, woe is that. And they want to turn it around to where you say, wow, I relate to Brother Feaster because, you know, I was in the military or I wanted to go to college or I was in a flood once and now I'm moved by that. So it's the same. It's the same. But as we go back to talking about our entitlement, you know, it boils down to, you know, we have to know what our definition of it is. We have to understand what our definition of it is. One of the things that I thought about, and I took it to the very basic, and I kind of gave it in my intro. I took it to the very basic when I said, you know, when I worked on first shift at this particular factory and then moved to second shift, it was a 10-cent increase an hour. But then when I went back to first shift, I want us to look at it just that simple sometimes so that maybe to help us understand how we incorporate this in our income. So when I switched from second shift to first shift, all of a sudden now I call myself losing money. No, I didn't lose money. This was something extra. This was something extra on top. And that's kind of how I was thinking of an incentive. I took it so simple. You know, that's kind of how I was thinking about it, that it's something. This is what we signed on when we signed the contract. We're going to work this many hours. We're going to work this amount of money for this many hours. So anything above that is extra. It kind of brings me to the parable, and I can't think of where it is in the New Testament, where I don't know, he was a farmer or a landowner. He went out at the early part of the day and got these people to come work on his land, and he promised them one denarii. And they came out and worked. And then 3 hours later, he went back and got some more people. And then 3 hours later, he got more people. And then the very last hour of work, he went out and got more people. So at the end of the day, when it's time to hand out the check, he gave everybody one denarii. Well, the people that came first, they were a bit out of shape. They was like, well, you know, how is it that people that only got here at the last part of the day get the same pay that I get, and I done been here all day, I've been slaving in this hot sun, my back hurt, and all this stuff. And what he said was so profound. this is what we contracted. This is what I told you we was going to do. So anything above and beyond, and I kind of want to take it to just simply that, anything above and beyond what we were allocated, what we were told, what we discussed, is an incentive. And if we include that into our income, I have experienced that it can become a problem. A lot of times those incentives help us along the way, especially years ago, about 15 years ago, when I wasn't making a whole lot of money and I needed a place to stay. Oh, man, that money came in and it was good. When I needed some food, that money came in and it was good. But now, things have changed, and I'm learning now that using it as part of my income is not that beneficial. So, you know, as I get ready to transition out of the military, you know, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. So that's kind of as I build this up a little more, that's kind of the direction I was going with this. Adia, you got anything?
Well, if she doesn't, I got something. You know, let me say this. I think it's at least to me. Somebody wanted us to state what the definition of an entitlement was. So, part of the definition that we mentioned earlier was one definition is the state of being entitled. So that's what entitlement means. But it also means a government program that guarantees and provides benefits to a particular group. So those are the two definitions. And we also said that the definition of a handout is food, clothing, or money given to the needy. And so I think for those who are just coming in, some of the conversation is some people think that giving to the needy, whether it's food, clothing, or money, is an entitlement, and or that some people believe that they are entitled to other people giving to them. And one of the things that I brought up was it becomes different when it's you. And that's the same thing Brother Feaster said as well. When it's me, it becomes different. So I just think that people need to be real careful about how they speak out against entitlements. And then I just say it like this, and Adia, if you're with us, I think she has something that she wanted to bring. If it's about a group of people, just be real, be man or woman enough to be able to say, look, it's about the people. It's not about the entitlement. Because I don't hear people flip-flop. I don't hear people against Social Security. But you 66 and collecting it. Dude, seriously? That don't even make sense. But the devil really uses people sometimes to say stupid things and to make people really sound so hypocritical. You know, the enemy brings out what's inside of us. And I hear stuff like that, and it makes me sick, you know. I hate hearing people talk about welfare and food stamps. But your family member getting disability and hasn't worked a day to get it. So we're giving. We're all contributing to that. And I think just the mindset of we're here on this earth to be a part of a group, a family, and we're supposed to be helping each other. Not trying to restrict what this person or this group of people over here gets versus over here. I think people just have to be real, real cautious. Real, real cautious. Go ahead, Adia.
Okay, so the first thing is, because I was kind of almost getting confused, and I will be upfront about that. So we're looking at entitlements from a lot of different perspectives. At least that's what it sounds like to me. I was looking, I think, Feaster was talking about entitlements from a military point of view. Like, you know, one of the entitlements we get is our BAH and for food. And, Nate, you brought up entitlements as far as, like, different government programs and different things like that. Is that how I need to understand it, or before I go into what I want? Okay.
I think you're on it.
Okay. And the only reason why I'm asking, because I wanted to read just a little bit of this article, and it's written by, he's an opinion writer, Robert J. Samuelson, on the Washington Post. And he said, we just need to drop the whole notion of entitlement, eliminate it because it's just been misused. And basically he just goes on to say that generally Americans don't want clarity or candor in their fiscal debates. We blame leaders And he was like, until the 1980s, entitlements wasn't part of everyday language. It wasn't until Ronald Reagan was apparently the first president to use the term extensively. And so I was just thinking about that, like, wow, how someone can quote unquote dub a word and it become a part of our everyday lingo that we use, and there still not be and you still not be able to put a finger on how to correctly define it, because what Feaster said was we in the military get benefits to help us with our housing and our food.
That's right.
And then you brought up, you know, people call what they call entitlements as far as WIC and welfare and different things like that. And so when you look at the two, it would make me scratch my head like I was doing earlier to say, well, but I'm working and I get entitlements to help offset my pay because of X, Y, and Z, which sometimes I don't know what X, Y, and Z is. I'm just being honest. But here you have somebody who may not work, may or may not work, or like we talked about last week, who is living in economic poverty, and they take part of these programs because of that, getting entitlements, but yet it's almost as if, I guess the right only way I can think of it is do they deserve to get those entitlements? And I know it sounds really mean, and I don't know if, but that's kind of just how I think about it. Like, what makes us deserving of these entitlements? And I think that goes back to what you were saying about how we define it. How we define entitlements may be different, but having that common understanding, I think that the reason why maybe sometimes we don't have it is because, according to this article, you can use a word so much to where the value added to that word is no longer there. So maybe what it initially meant no longer means that, because we're trying to sell you some batteries that don't work, and we're telling you, oh, you should have these batteries because, you know, you're entitled to have them and blah, 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 and all of the benefits that will be added if you get these batteries. And I think sometimes the value of it is lost. So I just don't even know what to say.
Because it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't. And let me tell you, you know why a lot of it doesn't make sense, Adia? Because when things are out there to do nothing but divide people, it's not supposed to make sense. Why should it make sense when it's things that the enemy and language that the enemy is using within people to divide other people? Let me say this. You can take, for example, like welfare or public assistance or food stamps or WIC. Don't you know there's people in the military getting WIC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right here at Fort Benning, there's a WIC office right next to where I teach. And the whole time I've been here, a WIC office on a military installation. If they need it, they need it. Mm-hmm. That's the bottom line. And let me say this. Just like you, I'm glad you brought up what you brought up about words, because words are so important. And how words are used are so important. And that's what divides people more so than anything, because most people don't even have the gumption to be able to go online and figure out what the word is by going and pulling up a dictionary.
Right.
So look at it like this. For somebody who talks about welfare being an entitlement, what is welfare? It's financial aid or some other type of aid, especially by the government, or given especially by the government.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, Dale. Let me say this, and I'll let you go back. We can take that same definition, and you call it welfare, and I call it a stipend, and it's the exact same thing. Because we want to alter how we feel about it for a certain demographic or a certain area or certain, you know, but go ahead.
Okay. So think about this. I can't be mad at somebody who needs to get some assistance to live in what we'll call Section 8 housing, right? I can't be mad at them when the governor of my state lives in a house that he ain't paying and writing a mortgage check to nobody for. Think about it.
And 10%
the government mansion. The governor's mansion in every state. Nobody writes, no governor writes a check for that. The taxpayers pay for that.
Right.
The parsonage that I live in as a pastor, whether it's paid for or not, people pay for that. And I take it as an entitlement. So I can't trip on people talking about people about what they're getting or from the government or from other people when I'm getting the same type of thing myself.
But
President Obama, President Bush, none of them pay anything to live in the White House. And I'm going to tell you something. Working in the federal government for almost 20 years, it costs a lot to maintain the White House. Our congressmen, our senators, who's paying for them to live in D.C.?
Right.
Are they paying out of their pocket? Come on, let's be real.
No, they ain't paying out of pocket. But
ahead.
Do we look at that from the government point of view to say because of the position that they're in, that is why, just the virtue of the position? And then even with that, my whole big thing, like I, and I know I brought this up several times on the show, so I got 2 points. One is looking at the position or the authority or the role that that person is in. And the second one is I know I don't trip about people that, and this may be biased, but it's my bias and I have to work through it, but I'm going to say it anyway, is I don't have an issue with people, especially the elderly people, which I love, that get welfare, that get Medicare, that get food stamps. And here's why I say that. And there is a disclaimer, because if they have been working, like most elderly people have, most of our seniors have been working for a long time, they have paid and should get Social Security money because it's been coming out of their check for however long they've been working and has, and it has been documented every single year. I think sometimes for a lot of people, to include myself, is a difference to where someone has not been working, because we do have teenagers that are getting pregnant and they're getting WIC, receiving WIC, they're receiving food stamps, and I mean they don't just get like the $200 that my mother was getting, even though she had been working since she was 18 years old. They are getting $1,000 every month in food stamps. And some of them do not have jobs, or they don't have a job to where they would even be, if they had to purchase $1,000 worth of groceries, then the what they make on their job, they wouldn't be able to afford it. And so kind of I look at entitlements to where we say to somebody, the most way that people look at entitlements is to say, this is something that I'm supposed to have. I don't think I have heard people define entitlements as it is something that is put together by the government or by an organization, because it could be a church or your job, wherever you work, to say we're going to provide this for a group of people. An entitlement can be, hey, because you work for Sprint, you know, as an employee, you get to buy a certain percentage of the company stock, and it's at no charge to you. We're going to give it to you just by virtue of you working for this company because we value you that much. That's an entitlement. I think that sometimes, and that's why I like that article, because how we define it and how we look at it in different respects, I think gives us yet a different angle at what an entitlement is. And I think a lot of it comes, when we look at the word entitlement, a lot of it comes from the government and the programs and how those programs are being used or being capitalized off of.
Abused.
And abused. Misused and abused. So I think this is a great topic, because it leads you down so many avenues that could be dark and windy, and you feel all alone.
I am sitting here really enjoying this. What I want to do is bring the table back to the question at hand, because we've discussed entitlements, but let's go back to the question that started off with: should they be a part of your income? So I know
I know a pastor that was at this particular church. I think it was like 40 years. Man, he had a long period at this church. And it was time for him to retire. And, you know, he retired. They gave him a good send-off. He was a pastor for 40 years. They gave him a good send-off. Well, you know, they started looking for a new pastor. In the process of them looking for a new pastor, they told the retired pastor, we're going to need you to come up out of that house you've been staying in for 40 years.
Oh.
Right.
So he had to give up the house that he lived in for about 40 years. Because, and this is one of the reasons why, you know, all this really sparked my interest, because we look at an entitlement, do we look at an entitlement as income? That house belonged to that church, and that house was for the pastor of that church. When he was no longer the pastor, he's no longer entitled to that house. Now this is the point I want to make. So for 40 years, he did not have to pay any money for housing, for lodging, for residence. For 40 years, he never set aside any money for when he left. So when he ended up retiring, and they told him and his wife that they had to move out of this house that they had been living in almost 40 years, they ended up having to get a very small apartment. And there's nothing wrong with getting a small apartment, but just the fact that, you know, they had to do this, I'm sure it was very emotional. They put 40 years into this house. So that's my thought. That's one of my thoughts. You know, is it part of our income? So go ahead.
Before you go to something else, let me ask you. So let me understand what you're saying. Is that an issue with the scenario that you gave? Do you find that to be an issue that he had to get out of this house and go to this small, because you did emphasize small apartment? But is that an issue for you that he had to get out and go to this small apartment?
Him having to leave the house was not the issue. For me, the issue was for 40 years, he never set aside a dollar a month so that when he was no longer the pastor, he could move into another location. That's the issue. That's what, you know, that goes back to what I'm saying. Is the entitlement a part of our income?
This is what I think about, though. I think about just as you brought it to us at the beginning of the show with somebody being in the military. The income was the income. That pastor could not claim on his tax return if he was making $40,000 a year and it cost $10,000 to maintain that house. He wasn't saying that he was bringing in $50,000. He was only bringing in $40,000. And so I don't know if he was saving, but just like being in the military, when you're getting a housing allowance, you don't make as much salary.
Right.
So to me, what I'm seeing is that there's an expectation that I'm going to be here pretty much forever and that they're going to take care of me.
Right.
And I don't have a problem with that mindset. But I know, like you know, it doesn't last always. And I think it's a good testimony for others to grab a hold to say, you know what? You got to be careful what you consider. I don't think it's being considered as income. I think that extra money is making it so that the quality of life is a little bit better as if it was, rather than if it was not there. That extra $1,500 a month that you get for a housing allowance, being in the military, or sometimes even more, right, depending on where you live, you have a level of comfortability that you're saying, look, because I am in this particular location, of this particular rank, this is what they are going to give to me. And nobody, when they have that type of entitlement that I know of, says, you know what, I'm going to live beneath that. Because the reality is when it's over, you don't have the ability to have that extra income. So it's about stewardship and it's about planning. We started off this year talking about planning. Matter of fact, we ended last year talking about planning. It is all about planning. So I think anybody listening to this show, Brother Feast, as you know, you brought this topic to the table, should say, you know what, I need to do, or what do I need to do as a better job at planning for my financial future? Because that housing allowance is not going to be there all the time. This company car that I drive to work every day is not going to be there. So if I decide not to put any money away for a car or have any money set aside, and I decide God tells me to leave my job, the company car goes back.
Right.
Now, while I have this company car, they may allow me to drive anywhere I want to in this company car. And if that's my only sole mode of transportation and it's working for us, me and my wife, when it's not there, then that's where the problem comes in at. And that's where everybody around you in that community gets affected.
So, Chad, based on what you're saying, that makes me think it's not the entitlements that the issue is. It's how we, which goes back to, you know, again, this is a topic on stewardship. It goes back to how I treat that entitlement. It's
right.
Not to say that I don't deserve the entitlement. You know, it's not to say that I didn't even earn it, but how do I treat it? Like I said, in a couple of years, you know, as the expression goes, I'm going to throw my boots over the line, and I'm going to be done with the military. And I got to cross over to the civilian sector and find me a job. The difference in my pay is going to be in the military, I get my base pay plus medical, dental, housing, food, you know. But when I get out of the military, which I did for 2 years and I felt the pain, you know, I get my base pay. And in my base pay, I got to pay medical, dental, food, utilities, and stuff like that. And so it becomes a matter. And then one of the things that I've experienced and talking to people that have gotten out of the military, one of the things that I've noticed is close to the end of our tour, when we're ready to throw our boots over the line, and for those that are not military affiliated, throwing your boots on the line is a phrase that we use, meaning I'm about to retire. But
right.
When we get ready to throw our boots over the line, we always go purchase a house. A lot of people that I've talked to, you can tell they did not plan on losing the money that they lost. So I told my wife when I get ready to retire, I already told my wife that the primary focus of my retirement check would be toward the mortgage. So if nothing else, we can always say that we have money for a place to stay. And for me, that's understanding that my housing allowance is an entitlement. And listen to this is the key. And once I'm no longer active service, I'm no longer an active service member, I'm no longer authorized that entitlement. And I think that's where it becomes income as opposed to an entitlement. And that's kind of what struck me earlier this week and why I wanted to bring it to the table. Because if we see the entitlement as income, when we're no longer qualified for the entitlement, then we have a problem. We're bent out of shape. We're mad and we're upset. No, you're no longer qualified for the entitlement. And that's kind of what got me and why I wanted to bring this to the table. Because in most cases, and I'm throwing my hand up in the air, raising my hand first, in most cases, I include my entitlements in my income when I'm making decisions. Is that wrong? Is that right? That's the question I'm kind of.
I think that it is right when you're making decisions for the now. I think it's wrong or a not so good decision when you're making decisions for the future. Because think about it. I know why a lot of people, when they get out the military or about to hang it up from a government job or someplace that they have a housing allowance, their income is straight income. So when you go to a mortgage company to finance your home, you're able to include that housing allowance inside of that as income. So if you got a if your housing allowance is $12,000 a year and your salary is $33,000 a year, then you can say you're bringing in $45,000. And a mortgage company is not going to have a problem giving you a loan based on that $45,000, of course, if it's comparable to the house that you're trying to get. You understand what I'm saying? So people have made that decision before getting out because they can use that base pay and that entitlement that they've been receiving. The issue is when it's no longer there, that person is making a decision now, but not just for now, but just also for the future. And it's a dangerous move because there's some people that won't move into their calling because they have to pay this high mortgage bill. Some people won't move into their calling because they have this debt that they are carrying on now that they may not be able to manage the way they used to be able to easily manage it when it was $45,000 coming in, and it's not $45,000, now it's really $33,000, which takes people to work in second jobs and all other kind of things just to make it, just to make it. So I don't think it's a good move when you're doing it for a long term. And let's be honest, when we talk about purchasing homes, and I'm sure we need to have a show about that too, but when we talk about purchasing homes, if I go buy a home today and I get a 30-year note, I can't say what I'm going to be doing in 25, 30 years. Right. So I'm really – so let's look at it biblically. Should I even be engaging in a debt that's 30 years? You go back to the book of Deuteronomy, you're going to see, no, that shouldn't last no more than 7 years.
Right.
Go to Deuteronomy 15. There's supposed to be a release of the debt. So we're not even operating by a biblical principle anyway if we're getting into a debt that is 15, 20, 30 years. So when things go wrong, whose fault is it? It's ours, every last one of ours, for not following a biblical principle. And God didn't make us make those decisions. We make those decisions because of the currency of this world that we're dealing with. That's a worldly system, a debt for 30 years. And I promise you, once I started dealing with PRF years ago, I had to make some changes. Now, because I already had purchased a home, I wasn't able to just get something down to 7, but I promise you, I did everything and continue to do everything I can every time I can to get those debts down where I'm not going over that 7-year mark. So you know what that means, Brother Feaster? That means save up some money first.
Right.
I'm done, bro. I love y'all. I have another call that I need to get on to in a few minutes, so y'all can just keep on. I'm going to step away from the table, but Brother Feaster, I think this is an excellent topic. I really think that we have a lot more material that we can carry this conversation on and hit some particulars over the next couple of weeks if we want to go there. So God bless y'all. I love y'all. And just go ahead and take it away, Brother Feast and the deal. I love you, cuz. I'll see y'all later, okay?
All right. So for y'all that has been frequent members of the PRF table, you understand that our brother JR is known for dropping the mic, which he does very frequently, like he just did.
I haven't been there yet.
Well, I'm glad you heard it because I didn't want you to think I was talking behind your back. Oh, man. Adia, you got anything?
The only thing that I was going to say that just, you know, I was just sitting up here listening, and I was like, you know, Lord, what I just keep hearing is that the entitlements are connected to where we are at that time. And as long as we are there, we receive those entitlements. And that's a good thing. You know, I think it helps us for that time. But like you said, those seasons end. And so we have to be proactive. And the word that I was going to say was plan, and Nate brought that word up, was that we have to also plan. And that was just kind of the word that came to me. But when I looked at it from another set of lenses, I said, when we stay in God and remain in him, there are entitlements that come with that.
Right.
And when we come from, when we decide, oh, we don't want to do this anymore, hey, this Christian lifestyle is no longer for me, those entitlements that we were getting, sometimes not all of them go with us. And it's not until we understand that when you stay where you are and serve out the purpose that you have, the entitlements are there. And a lot of times you don't have to do anything but be a part of that organization, and you get the entitlements, just like the example you gave with the people that was working in the field. Somebody works 8 hours, as opposed to somebody working only 3 hours, and they still got the same pay. And that's what I look at when I'm thinking about the body of Christ, is that you have people that come in, people that are coming to into the body of Christ every single day. And yet God's grace and his mercy says, even though you just came in day one, here are the entitlements that I'm going to give you just for becoming my son or daughter, as opposed to somebody who's been doing it for 30 years. And so I am grateful for the entitlements, because you look at a private that's just coming into the Army. No, they're not at a place to where they can retire, but they get a place to live, and they get food, and they only have to be, and they don't have to be in for 10 or 20 years. They get the same thing that you and I get, regardless of how long they've been in. Now, the difference is the years that they've been in, but they still get an entitlement. And so I think what I have heard, and what I think is such a blessing, is that as long as I stay with God, the entitlements that he has for me are just that. I guess in the natural sense is that those entitlements that we want to keep as we transition from one career to the civilian sector is that not all of those entitlements carry over. Some states may offer you, you know, where you can get tax-free. They may come with, you know, education entitlements that come along with it when you retire. But what I think I really like the most is that with God, your entitlements, like, he has the best entitlement package that anybody in this world could ever ask for. And I really enjoyed tonight's show. I really did. Really, really did. And we lost our brother Feaster. He's probably going to be coming back on. But really enjoyed tonight. And we just want to thank Paula right now for listening quietly. She did contribute to the conversation on tonight. And this was another comment from our sister was that tonight's episode was awesome. It allowed for us to talk about a topic that most of us probably don't pay a lot of attention to, but it's important that we do look at entitlements, because it allows us to see where we are now, what our future is going to look like possibly if we decide to retire, and how we need to plan towards that, getting that goal, reaching that goal of retirement, so that we can also incorporate planning how we're going to take care of our families, take care of ourselves, and start setting goals that are achievable by paying down and paying off your debts, by understanding and looking at your home loan to say, do I want to get a new house and I'm getting ready to retire? Is there a need for me to do that? Because you may not make the same amount of money that you were making before, whereas you were getting the, where you were getting the entitlements from. I just think it's important, you know, that we understand what entitlements are and how we define those entitlements, and that there is definitely a difference in what entitlements mean to other people. And the usage of words can sometimes be overused, and it definitely skews and causes biases by simply using a word or overusing a word, whereas all people don't fully understand, there's no clarity of what that word really means.
Right.
As the example that we gave earlier with the article. So I'm going to turn it over to Feaster right now, and that's about it for me.
I was liking something that JR said before he dropped the mic. He said something so profound that
I really think, for me, it turned a lot of what I was thinking and how I felt about the subject, and really it was an eye-opening point for me when he said, if you're looking at the entitlement in the right now, you're doing good. But if you're looking at the entitlement for the future, that's where it always, that's where it becomes the problem. And as I looked over my life, as he said that, that made sense to me, because if I look at everything that all the entitlements that I have now, then everything's fine. You know, I'm receiving money for housing, I'm receiving money for food, I'm receiving money for clothing, I'm receiving money for all of this, and everything is fine. But if I look at all that right now and base it on 5 years from now when I plan to be out, then that's where the problem comes in at. And that's kind of how I was looking at this. And I hope that, you know, that's, you know, those of you that are listening, that's where my heart went from. That's where my thought process was going. That's where I was looking at it from. And so when JR said that, it was so profound to me. It was so profound. A lot of times we do take those entitlements as part of our income. And for y'all that have been here a while, you know one of the things that I'm very big on is stewardship. So if we look at those entitlements as entitlements, then we're being good stewards. However, if we look at those entitlements as part of our income, then I think that's where we're not being good stewards. Simply because from then on, you know, once we are not qualified for the entitlements, then we don't receive those entitlements, and that's where a lot of the problem comes in. So I'm like JR said before he left, I think all we did was really scratch the surface tonight. I think tonight all we really did was just open up a dialogue and kind of like get the ball rolling and get it started. And I hope the people that are listening, you know, you really enjoyed it and you really got something out of it and it sparks some interest. And by the looks of it, this will be the conversation for next week. So as we conclude tonight and we get ready to pull the chairs to the table and dust the table off and take our cups and put it in the kitchen, I just want to say, you know, think about it over the week. Think about the entitlements that you receive. Think about what you do with those entitlements. Think about how you are qualified for those entitlements. Not why you're qualified, but how you're qualified for those entitlements. And then, you know, think about how you treat those entitlements. So that next week when we come back to the table, I would love to hear from other people to come in and talk about their entitlements and how they view their entitlements. And also along the week, if something comes up and you can't make it or you want to have a discussion, feel free to go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and, you know, post it on the page. You know, me, JR, and Adil, we look at it throughout the week, and we'll be glad to have a dialogue with you, and we'll be glad to go ahead and have the discussion then or even bring it in for next week. So as we conclude tonight, I just want to say think about it over the week. Be prepared to come back next week, and let's sit down, and let's bring up this entitlement. I really don't think that we really thought about the entitlements we receive and how we treat those entitlements. And maybe that's just me being narrow-minded, but I really think that this is a discussion that we really need to have. So over the week, take the time, write your notes down, post it on a page, you know, and we'll have the discussion next week. So we thank you for pulling up to the table. We thank you for, you know, listening, and we thank you for being a part of the PRF table. So with that, I say good night and have a great week. God bless you.